titles, that's crazy talk. You know, you can't think
of that. You can want five
titles. You can want that.
You can't ask for them.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially in this sport. You can ask for them in basketball when you've got a generational talent. You know, as LeBron gets ready to go to, what, his eighth or ninth finals in a row or something, whatever it is.
Yeah, the 206 says, Theo promised me titles. And he adds more bunting and bench Bryant.
Well, we'll get them all in all for you. Now, this is cool, man. This is cool. And this is why I bristle when people hit me with the Sox fan stuff. Oh, well, you don't like the Cubs winning because you're a Sox fan. First of all, you got to stop thinking through that lens or seeing things through that lens.
One of my least favorite things about Chicago
sports.
Hearing
things through that filter. Me being a Sox fan has nothing to do with me understanding the enjoyment and the happiness of the people that I share a city with. Like, I share a city with the majority of a fan base that outnumbers my fan base by a ton. And I could not be happier for them. My sister's going to be out here is a huge Cubs fan. A few of my boys, huge Cubs fans. My guy moved to Tampa. He's still flying here every chance he gets to watch this team play playoff baseball. So me being a Sox fan has nothing to do with it. You can take it all in and respect it the same and still root for your team. But we got to get past that foolishness as well.
This segment brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. Looking forward to a conversation with the television voice of the Cubs, who has turned into a radio voice of the Cubs in these very airwaves. Len Casper is set to join us after an update coming up on The Score.
The Dodgers are up on the Cubs 2-0 in the NLCS. Keep it here as we continue to analyze this series. And don't miss Pat and Ron's hometown call of Game 3 tonight. Our pregame coverage starts at 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Rick Camp. Wolves goalie Oscar Danske earns 3 silver medals for Team Sweden. Be there on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon as they defend their Central Division title at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. The Cubs lineup is out for Game 3 against the Dodgers. Zobrist at second, Schwarber in left, Bryant at third, Rizzo at first, Contreras behind the plate, Jay in center, Russell at short, Hayward in right, and Kyle Hendricks is on the mound against Yu Darvish. Darvish hasn't allowed more than one run in a start since September 8th. First pitch is out 8:01 right here on The Score. ALCS Game 4 at Yankee Stadium tonight. The Astros are up 2-1 in the series. Pitching matchup is Sonny Gray and Lance McCullers. And the NBA tips off with a pair of marquee matchups tonight. The Cavs play the Celtics, and the Warriors host the Rockets. Searching for a solution to the seepage in your basement? Visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. And the private bank is now CIBC. The same banking team you know and trust now brings deeper resources, global banking reach, and the power to help your business seize new opportunities. Visit CIBC.com/US, member FDIC. I'm Rick Camp, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the defending world champion Chicago Cubs. The next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6 when the Cubs take on the Dodgers in the NLCS on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Lake Forest Graduate School. Visit lakeforestmba.edu for their upcoming open house.
Casper.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Time to celebrate!
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Al Mora back. He is at the wall. He leaps. He caught it! He caught it! Al Mora just robbed Matt Adams of a game tire.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Hey, Kyle. Nice job tonight. Where do we start?
My God, my thoughts. I don't even know where my mind's at right now. That baseball game. My whole series, really. God, that was such a grind. Everyone made a contribution tonight. It's what it's been about all season. I love these guys.
Enjoy this one, Kyle. Nice job.
Yeah, thank you, Len.
Len Casper with Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
Len Casper is on Twitter, at Len Casper, and he joins us now right here at our Craftsman Mobile studio here at the park at Wrigley, getting set. Boy, 4 hours from now still. To help the score call a game, it is a game 3, and the wind is blowing out, so maybe this is the offensive spark that they need.
Well, nice to see you guys.
Good to see you, Len.
For me, it's 4 o'clock, as you said. We're still 4 hours away from the first pitch. And as you know, and especially in October, the conditions can change between 4 in the afternoon and 8 o'clock. It looks to me like by the time we get started, we might be in the upper 50s. So, yeah, the wind could shift. Really hard to tell at this point. If it stays the same, though, you're right. It feels like an offensive environment, so to speak.
Yu Darvish, tough on righties. You got the top of the order where Ben Zobrist will be batting left-handed. And Kyle Schwarber in there in the second hole. Some early season machinations with the Kyle Schwarber top of the lineup. Did you see that coming? Did you think that was happening here?
Nothing would surprise me at this point, especially considering the Cubs have only scored 3 runs on 2 home runs in the first 2 games. You're just trying to manufacture some offense wherever you can. I still like it as a defensive lineup. Obviously, you take Baez out of the picture to start the game, which you don't love, but I think right now it's all about scratching out some runs. And you know, who knows if the Cubs win tonight how it will go, but it sure feels like they need a 3 or 4 run inning, just something to kind of bust out of it, give the starter an early lead, and allow Joe to kind of manage his bullpen the way he would like to and to set it up once you get to the 6th and 7th innings.
Aha! Joe Maddon and managing the bullpen. Joe has made himself the focus of this LCS, whether that was his intention or not. First getting tossed, and then with the much-discussed moves that ended up not working. Are you surprised at his aggressively defensive posture?
Well, not really. And, you know, I missed the interview earlier today. I caught clips of it coming in, and I think a couple of things. Number one, you know, Joe does have a plan going into a game, and he really tries to live by it. And I think in the case of Wade Davis, going into the game, the plan was to not use him. Unless the Cubs had a lead in a safe situation late, so he stuck with it there. He also, with his matrix of outcomes, he has matchups that he likes and doesn't like. He liked the Lackey-Taylor matchup. The X versus Turner matchup is bad for just about every pitcher, and so to me it's the walk to Taylor, and I think Joe said the same thing, that set up the game-winning hit there. And obviously John's a guy who gives you some length. So if you go to the 10th, 11th, maybe even the 12th, he's a guy who could push you that far if you needed it. And then the other part of it is they're not scoring runs, so it's put all this pressure on all the little things, and it's made every move on both sides magnified. And that's why I think the Cubs need to get to Darvish early tonight. Their starters have not gone deep, but that's by design.
Yeah.
And so if you're the Cubs, you want to make Dave Roberts make moves he doesn't want to make, or make them maybe 2 innings before he'd like to make them.
So what's the biggest difference that you've seen between postseason Joe and regular season Joe?
I mean, for me, from my perspective, I haven't seen any.
Okay.
I mean, other than using Wade Davis for 7 outs, you know, in terms of the strategy, you know, in terms of how he's been around the ball club, it's been exactly the same. We have bigger planes because we have more people, but that's really it. And I think he has strived to kind of maintain that even keel from, you know, March 15th, June 15th, October 15th. And I think it has resonated inside this clubhouse over the last 2 postseasons and now into this one.
Jason Hayward, we had a conversation about Ian Happ, and I don't know if you could put 3 guys out there that you don't trust with the glove. You got to save some runs somewhere, and Jason Hayward's value is still with the glove. And if he does get on base, I thought in the Steven Strasburg game, that second one, he had 2 really good at-bats against Steven Strasburg. But Jason Hayward is a guy that a lot of people have been texting and calling about, saying, how is he still in the lineup and not a late-inning defensive replacement?
Well, I think the defense, number one, and I also think when all else is even, you tend to go with the experience over the, you know, inexperience. Happ is a guy who you can bring off the bench, and the platoon split thing is not nearly as big a deal. You've got Tommy La Stella as a left-handed bat. So I think this might be as much about what you're able to do with your bench mid to late game than anything else. But, you know, I think when push comes to shove, Joe pretty much has Jason in there every day against right-handed pitching.
You know, it's almost the opposite of what Joe Sheehan discussed with us yesterday when he talked about Maddon's recency bias when it comes to the bullpen. That he's much more likely to trust a guy or not trust a guy, not based on his overall body of work, but what he's done for him lately, because that's what stuck in his head. And Sheehan pointed to that as saying maybe that's part of the issue that he has had in post seasons, is just always thinking about that last time out. Yet with position players, and maybe just the nature of position players being different, it seems he does go out of his way to trust the larger body of work.
Yeah, you know, and I think in the case of the bullpen, I think it depends on who it is, because you can't say in Carl Edwards Jr. Case that it's recency bias, because he struggled in the National Series, and Joe got him right back out there for Game 2 in a pretty big spot, and I thought he was terrific. I actually think it's more about the larger picture, and that's why Rondon wasn't on the Division Series roster. He did go to Hector in Game 1. We know he gave up the game-winning home run. But I think what happens is my partner on television, Jim DeShays, calls the circle of trust, and it just it gets very small for most managers once you get into the postseason. So I think it might be that more than it's necessarily how a guy has looked over the last two or three days. Brian Dunsing's pitched in big spots all year. Yeah. Mike Montgomery. I think the guys we've seen generally in the postseason are the guys he's used in the biggest spots.
Do you think we haven't given enough credit to the teams they faced over these last two rounds? Through the Nationals, or a lot of people's favorite coming out of the National League this year. Of course, the Dodgers ran away with the NL West very early. Struggled at the end there with some injuries and some other things, but these are two damn good ball clubs that they faced in these last two rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I said near the end of the year, and we hadn't seen the Dodgers in person since late May, that the Nationals on paper were probably the most talented team in the National League. And I kind of felt like if the Cubs got past the Nationals, maybe the Dodgers wouldn't be as formidable. And I think I was wrong. I think the middle of the bullpen is way better than I thought, and it's actually better than it was when we saw them in late May. And while they don't have Corey Seager, they have that vibe right now. And I've talked to people who followed them all year. I just talked to one of their players, and it just feels like everything they do this year is working. And it sounds like the Cubs last year, and the roles have reversed. The Cubs had to expend so many bullets, so much energy to beat the Nationals, while the Dodgers sat around for 5 days waiting for them. And that tells you how difficult it is to beat a really good team that's well rested.
Joe Maddon said he, had he not gone to John Lackey, for whatever reason, he'd be explaining that somehow it would denigrate John Lackey. And I'm still trying to figure out the relationship between a manager and how his decisions apparently reflect publicly on players. Frankly, I don't buy it. I mean, I think Joe's trying to talk his way out of something that maybe blew up in his face. But, I mean, of all people, you really think that John Lackey is going to be bothered by something like that, where he's saying, you know, he didn't trust me? Meanwhile, he's got Hector Rondon throwing and warm. Hey, Skip, I'm ready. Nah, it's okay. I'd rather go with a 38-year-old starter in here.
So fill me in on what the line was. I didn't hear the quote.
Jason can help me out. He said it would be if he...
It'd be denigrating to John Lackey if he answered the question on, it wasn't a bad move. Like, there was an ask of, do you apologize to guys, or have you said to yourself that I made the wrong move? He said, right. In this case, if I say that, then it'd be denigrating to John Lackey, meaning you're the wrong move, John. I don't have trust in you. But you're kind of saying that to Hector Rondon when you get him up and you don't put him in a situation where he's been groomed over the last few years to be that guy.
I guess for me, I wouldn't even get that far. To me, it was if that's the spot that he felt he wanted to use John, then that's the answer. So I don't know if it was the second answer to the question or not. But I think most managers are going to say, look, I'm going to try to do my best to put guys in positions to succeed. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I also think that managers do try to protect their guys as much as they can. And maybe even more so, a starting pitcher put in a different role than he's used to. You know, you really want to make sure that however it goes, that the manager's got your back, because he is putting him in a spot that he hadn't pitched in a long time.
What's wrong with Montgomery?
I'm not sure. I don't know if there is anything wrong with Mike Montgomery. I just think it's the nature of bullpens, you know.
This is the time you lose it.
Well,
or sometimes you're good and sometimes you're not.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
This
is the time of the season where
I don't look at him as if there's something necessarily wrong with him. I think, you know, Carl Edwards, we've seen, is just, you know, he's got to throw strikes, and when he does, he's as good as any reliever in baseball. I don't have an answer for it. There's nothing I see that looks off to me. It's just maybe he's given up hits that he didn't earlier in the year.
All right. Well, I'll ask the similar question about Chris Bryant. Rich Hill is a damn good pitcher, and he uses that curveball more than anybody I've seen this year. Is it like 40% of the time he's throwing that curveball?
Yep.
You saw him behind on 88, 89 mile an hour fastballs. That's probably because his bat is so slowed down because of the curveball. What have you seen out of Chris Bryant's at bats these last couple of games?
I think that the Dodgers staff matches up pretty well with the Cubs offense because it is a velocity offense. They like fastballs, and they've gotten a lot of off-speed, a lot of curveballs. I thought what made Strasburg so effective against the Cubs in the first round was that his fastball wasn't his main pitch. The changeup was maybe the best changeup in those two starts that I've ever seen in terms of the movement and the arm action. And then his curveball was also very good, and I think that's how teams are trying to get this team out, and it's worked really well. And the other kind of obvious answer is, you know, when people say, well, the Cubs, you know, they hit lesser pitching. Well, everybody does that. It gets so much more difficult to hit elite pitching when you get to this spot in the postseason.
It looks to me like they're doing a lot of games with eye level, too.
Yes.
You're seeing,
it's more of a vertical than a side to side.
Yes. You're seeing some guys will work inner half, outer half, and make you chase in and out. But just in general, looking at some of these charts, to me, it looks like a lot of movement up and down, especially a guy with a swing plane like Bryant's, who is out in front and elevating the ball, that maybe they're combating that by forcing him to wait back a little bit. And even if he does want to hit the curveball, it's up in the zone, and he has to wait for it and adjust accordingly.
I know you guys are going to talk to Ron Coomer, but every once in a while, there are high breaking balls that are effective because they're above that hitting plane. You know, the old adage, keep the ball down, that's really not accurate. It's that if you're going to pitch up, you got to pitch way up in the zone. You know, if you're going to go letter high, you can't go belt high. So that's where pitching coaches really believe you can win a lot of battles against hitters, is if you work two balls above that sweet spot.
Not to mention, it's hard to hit breaking balls. Fangraphs picked this out early in the season, looking at the percentage of non-fastballs thrown by the Yankees, and looking at teams saying, look, with swings, with players geared to hit velocity, when you throw stuff that, especially breaking stuff, it's moving differently, and it's frankly just not easy to hit unless you make a bad mistake.
Right, right. And you've got Darvish, who's got, you know,
everything.
15 pitches. He's throwing 98. Kenta Maeda, you know, he
was terrific.
We saw him as a starter last year, and it was not like it is now, pitching in short relief. He signed through like 2023, making $3 million a year. I think Maeda has found a home in the bullpen. I'm not sure they're going to start him down the road.
All right, Len, we will let you get on with your prep work for the 8-something start.
It's like an NBA playoff game, isn't it?
Except it takes 4 hours.
You said those three glorious
takes
letters.
Four
Len.
Hours. What's the last 2 minutes of an NBA game?
Don't do this. Don't. Come on, Len. You're better than.
Oh!
We're gonna have a Red Wings call next week for my guy Len. Len, always good to see you, brother.
Good to see you guys.
Len Casper, the television voice of the Cubs, doing work for Sports Radio 670.
Playing to the base, Len Casper.
Oh man, look at that. The segment brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. We're looking forward to having a conversation with MLB Network's Heidi Watney in just a little bit here on The Score.
This is Chris Bryant. Listen to every Cubs playoff game on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs.
Coverage brought to you by State Farm, proud partner of the Cubs.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by GNC. Live well. I'm not going to call a Week 6 game in the middle of October a must-win game for anybody, but last night was as close to a must-win game as you can get for Tennessee. They came into the season with all that buzz. After taking that big step forward last year, there was even some dark horse Super Bowl buzz for this group. Yet they went into last night's game against Indianapolis 2-3. You can't fall to 2-4 and hope to have a good season, especially when one of those losses would be to the Colts. And yes, I know the Colts had beaten them 11 straight times, but after last night's 36-22 win, that streak is now over. And it's not just that they won, it's how they won. By imposing their will, by being physical, by having Derrick Henry finish them late. These were the Smash Mouth Titans everybody expected in September. It may have taken a little longer, but it feels like they finally arrived, and not a moment too soon. I'm Jim Rome.
Are you thinking about renting out your house? Good choice, because the rental market is red hot. Not only could you make more money by renting out your home, but renting has never been easier, especially when you hire Renters Warehouse. Renters Warehouse is America's number one rent estate company, helping everyday homeowners lease and manage their homes. Their rent-to-state advisors make property management easy. They'll price your property, they'll find you great tenants, they'll collect the rent, and take those pesky maintenance calls, all while you sit back and let someone else pay your mortgage. It's easy to start cash flowing on your home, easy to get great tax breaks, and easy to open the door to financial freedom. Plus, Renter's Warehouse gives you 24/7 property management for one low, flat monthly fee. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now. Get a free home rental price analysis and find out how much your home will rent for today. It's easy. Renter's Warehouse, the professional landlords of Rent-A-State.
Find out how much your home will rent for. Renter's Warehouse. Renterswarehouse.com.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I'm so happy, I feel like I can fly.
Disclaimer, you will not be able to fly by switching to GEICO. This is against the laws of physics and nature. If you find yourself flying, please seek professional and or medical help immediately. In the unlikely event you find yourself flying, you might be a superhero or a pigeon or a superhero named Pidge Woman who was bitten by a radioactive pigeon. If you are indeed Pidge Woman, GEICO retains all licensing publishing rights in the event Pidge Woman the movie becomes a top-grossing Hollywood blockbuster.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I'm just worried that now, instead of saying, hey, nothing's going to happen this season, let the kid, let's feed him everything he can handle. Let him make mistakes. He needs to calibrate his targeting system. Takes mistakes to know what is open and what is not open on this level.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs, and the place to hear World Series Cubs manager Joe Maddon talk with Spiegel and Parkins, Tuesdays at noon.
The moment Javi starts swinging at elevated fastball and slider in the dirt, it's going to get really spectacular. And if you look at his numbers this year, they're still pretty darn good. He's really good late in the game. I'm sure you've noticed that. I mean, the guy's not afraid of anything.
Joe Maddon with Spiegel and Parkins, Tuesdays at noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards, and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all Chicago sports talk station, covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. Middays on The Score.
There were a lot of good things to enjoy about Mitch.
I'm just glad that dude's not holding a clipboard. Remember when everyone was advocating, hey, take it slow, you can learn more on the bench. Shut up. Shut up.
Spiegel and Parkins. 9 a.m. to 1. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
I don't trust their bullpen at all. Do you trust their bullpen? I think anything can happen. I think anything often does happen. So I think it's Wade Davis. I think that's still the guy you trust in a save situation.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Handley mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
That defense is playing its arse off. They don't stop, and they hit. You had a lot of guys doing some good stuff and a lot of big hits in that game.
Mully and Hanley mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
I'm just worried that now, instead of saying, hey, nothing's going to happen this season, let the kid, let's feed him everything he can handle, let him make mistakes. He needs to calibrate his targeting system. Takes mistakes to know what is open and what is not open on this level.
Bernstein and Goff. Afternoons 1 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
At 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Axing your brickwork? Visit uswaterproofing.com.
CBS Friday.
Show some respect, man up.
Hawaii 5-0 has TV's hottest. Bromance?
Steve, what do you think?
Therapy worked for us.
Didn't see that coming.
Tune in for the action.
5-0!
Stay for the male bonding.
I can hear you thinking.
What am I thinking?
You're hungry. Other than that, it's pretty echoey in there.
It's a match made in mayhem.
You're a caveman, and God bless you.
That's really nice.
Hawaii 5-0. CBS Friday, or stream it live or on demand.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We really got to win this next one, find a way, any way possible, just to grind out that win. This game three is the biggest game for us. I know they got to win two more, but we really got to find a way to win on Tuesday.
That's Anthony Rizzo. The Cubs indeed do try to find a way to win. The Bernstein and Goff Show here at the park at Wrigley, just outside Wrigley Field, looking at Clark Street as the sun begins to set as we head toward an 8-0-something start for Game 3 of the Cubs and Dodgers.
I feel like it's 8-0-6 or 8-0-8, something like that.
And we are joined now by Heidi Watney of MLB Network here on our broadcast site of the Craftsman Mobile Studio. Heidi's on Twitter, at Heidi Watney, and you can see her work on MLB Network. And a little bit of breaking news from our reporter here, huh? So looking at this interesting starting lineup we got.
Yeah, we just got the Dodgers lineup for Game 3, and it is vastly different from Games 1 and 2, which had the same lineup, basically. Justin Turner had been hitting second. He's dropped down to third. Yasiel Puig had been hitting eighth. He's up in the cleanup hole now. Andre Ethier's in there. Chase Utley in there. So a lot of changes for Dave
Andre
Roberts.
Ethier signing.
Wow.
He's on the roster, and he's in the lineup today.
So we were talking before when these playoffs came to fruition. I don't know when was the last time the top four media markets are the final four teams in New York, L.A., Chicago, and Houston. That has to be a boon for a national network, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know MLB is probably very excited about it, having these four teams in it. And just a rematch of last year's phenomenal NLCS between the Dodgers and the Cubs. That was so exciting. I was actually covering the American League last year, so I was watching it on TV and locked in, couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I was wishing that I had been here for Game 6 because that just looked amazing.
You know, the programming I have consumed on MLB Network has actually been a lot more fun than the beginning, you know, the inception of the network. I think the morning show is the best sports morning show, period, on television, because I think all those guys on there and DeRosa have a fun time. But when this time gets it going and you've got that many analysts around and you've got reporters like yourself, do you guys get into the fan mode as much as we think you do, or is it strictly breaking it down and understanding the reporter side of things? Like, is there still the fan conversations that go on with the athletes and the ex-managers that you have around the network?
Well, I've been in the field since October 2nd, since before the wild card game started, but so I'm not in the studio, but we have those discussions every day. That's one of the great things about working at MLB Network, is just walking around the area we call the bullpen and having these discussions. And we do have a lot of fans. My producer with me right now is a Yankees fan, so he's, even Sorry though we're on that. The National League side of things, he's locked into what's going on over on there on the ALC. Now, he shall remain nameless. And I find myself getting into the games no matter what and watching them as a fan. I am more excited to see great things happen on the field, whether it's a great pitching performance or Justin Turner's walk-off home run. I'm sorry, Cubs fans, but just from being there and covering that and running out on the field as soon as he hits it to do the walk-off interviews, it's exciting. The whole thing is, I love the postseason. It's the best time of year.
Has the national storyline been the same as the local storyline here with the questioning of Joe Maddon's moves? We did it a little bit after Game 6 and Game 7 of the World Series, but they won the World Series.
Yeah.
And now we're back in it where we can actually talk about it, and there's still games to go. Has the national theme been the same?
Absolutely. I know our guys certainly on MLB Network are questioning everything that happens, and that's their job as analysts to question that. I actually understand Madden's perspective on what he did in Game 2, and I actually said that before I had even read his quotes after the game, as you know, sports writers are in there talking like, how in the world does he bring in Lackey? And Wade Davis didn't come in. And I was covering that game where Buck Showalter didn't bring in Zach Britton. And I interviewed Zach Britton afterwards. And I said, you know, were you hurt? Were you all the questions that you should be asking. And but the thing that fans don't necessarily look at is that now we're back here for Game 3. They have gotten rested. Wade Davis should be back to normal after that, you know, a 7-out outing in Game 5.
At some point, the offense has to play well.
The offense, I mean,
they'll play better, I should say.
The thing, if you've never traveled with a baseball team, which I have, I was the Red Sox reporter for 4 years, those long days traveling, those overnight flights where you're not getting to your bed, or they didn't get to their bed at all until the next day. Those really, the next couple of days affect you. So now that they're back, Madden gave them the day off again yesterday. They should be better rested. Nobody's rested this time of year, but better than they were in LA. I like the Cubs tonight because I like that they can get back to normal a little bit. Those first two games were going to be tough, both of them, because of the situation they were in with that taxing five-game series in the NLDS and then the travel issues that they had going to LA.
When you are following the storyline of the game doing your job, what kind of communication goes on to make sure that over these 3.5 or 4 hours where the narratives can whipsaw in so many different directions, and whether it's breaking in with a report here and there or knowing what your post-game line of attack is going to be, do you find yourself just having all the best notes and all the best thoughts and then sometimes at the very end just throwing everything and saying, well, I just got to go, I just got to, you know, fly it here because everything we prepared just got changed with one swing of the bat or one pitch?
Right. Well, my role here being kind of like on the field and doing what I do the interviews after the games. I don't have to prepare a whole show, thankfully. So those larger storylines, I don't have to necessarily worry about. I keep score of the game and I keep notes about certain plays and what's going on, and I'm certainly following the action. And as we get to the later innings, the sixth, the seventh, eighth, I'm thinking, okay, if the Dodgers win tonight, these are the guys I'm going to go interview. You know, if the Cubs win tonight, this is what we're going to focus on. So I'm thinking bigger picture. But then, like, I mean, in Game 2, we didn't know. We were like, okay, we're lining up to run on the field, and we're like, okay, we're going to interview Hero, and then this guy, and then this guy, and then this guy. Like, we have our 1 through 4 choices because, you know, there's a bunch of media outlets out there. And you don't know the storylines, but that's kind of the fun thing about it. And we also, at MLB Network, we get a fantastic research packet every day. So we had the Kirk Gibson stat in our research packet. We knew that going into game. That was the anniversary of that game. We know that Justin Turner is batting over 700 with runners in scoring position in the postseason. It's absolutely incredible, his numbers and what he's done. So I have that in my head as I run on the field. You just hope in the moment that you remember all that.
Favorite baseball city, excluding Chicago. We don't want to have to make you say something you don't want to say. So excluding Chicago, favorite, since you've been out in the field since October 2nd, favorite city to travel to cover baseball?
Gosh.
Outside of Chicago.
Outside of Chicago. Well, Chicago is a great city, and I love this park. This is actually, this wasn't open last year during the World Series. This is so cool. This is my first day here this postseason because I was on the National League. I'm from California, so I'm a little partial to traveling to the California cities. AT&T Park, I think, is one of, I think there's 4 parks in baseball that are my favorites. AT&T Park in San Francisco, I'm probably biased. I grew up a Giants fan. I'll be 100% clear there. PNC Park. The Pirates Field with the downtown in the background, it's so beautiful. And then, of course, Fenway and Wrigley. They're so historic, but they've done such a great job remodeling them. And I know that what they did with Fenway and now they're doing over here with Wrigley, that the areas around the park are great. And I just love that history. You walk into Wrigley, you walk into Fenway, and you just feel something special because baseball's been played there for over 100 years. Right. It's amazing.
We're going to take 30 seconds to do a quick scoreboard update and then come back and just do a couple minutes on the other side if that's cool.
Sounds good.
All right, more with Heidi Watney coming up.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Rick Camp. Wolves goalie Oskar Dansk has earned 3 silver medals for Team Sweden. Be there on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon as they defend their Central Division title at Allstate Arena. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Cubs lineup for Game 3 against the Dodgers is Zobrist, Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Jay, Russell, Hayward, and Kyle Hendricks on the mound against Yu Darvish. Changes in the Dodgers lineup as well. Yasiel Puig moved up to cleanup. Chase Utley, Andre Ethier, and Jock Peterson are all in the lineup. First pitch is at 8:01 right here on the Score. Game 4 of the ALCS is underway right now. They're top 2, no score. It's Sonny Gray against Lance McCullers. Astros lead that series 2-1. And the NBA tips off with a pair of marquee matchups tonight, Cavs-Celtics and Warriors-Rockets. Want a job with great pay? Up to $125 in weekly bonuses and up to $25,000 in tuition assistance? Join UPS as a part-time package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Apply at upsjobs.com. I'm Rick Camp, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the defending world champion Chicago Cubs. The next Cubs game on The Score is tonight at 6 when the Cubs take on the Dodgers in the NLCS on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Metra. Avoiding traffic feels awesome, astounding, amazing. And when you ride Metra, you can avoid traffic every single day. Learn about Metra's relaxing rides, convenient schedules, and 96% on-time performance now at MetroRail.com.
Talking baseball with Heidi Watney of MLB Network here on the Bernstein and Goff Show outside Wrigley Field on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, Heidi, best favorite interview, either one, best/favorite interview that you did this year, and most awkward, difficult, unpleasant one.
Worst guy you've ever been around interview.
Well, somebody who traveled with a team for 4 years, I know we could plumb the depths of that. Well, my goodness. But, yeah.
Well, you did say this year, though.
Yeah, okay.
So
unless you have a story you want to tell.
This year, best interview.
Or most surprising.
Best beard.
That's tough. I mean, maybe this is just because recent memory, but Justin Turner on the field after his walk-off for game 2, and, you know, he's running the gauntlet of all the reporters. He had talked to TBS before talking to me, and he was so genuinely happy, not only for what he did for his team, but for the fans. I mean, he was like, look at the fans. They're still here. I'm like, you just did something historic. And he's such a great guy to talk to and interview. He's so laid back, and he's so nice, and he comes across incredibly humble every time I've spoken with him. He's a great interview. And this is maybe a little bit funny, but Yasiel Puig.
Oh, my God.
My guy.
I have been
my
so...
I can't break up with him.
I said this
I'll
yesterday.
Never break up
I
with
said
him.
This. All I want is a Yasiel Puig stuffed animal.
I just want Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
You want a Yasiel Puig voodoo doll? Is
no,
that what you're
I want
saying?
A giant stuffed animal.
No. You know, okay, my wife could be here, then there's my Yasiel Puig stuffed animal, and then me.
Oh,
and everything's fine.
I have
my
to say,
warm.
I have to give him props for a guy who does not speak English as a native language, and who in the 2013 postseason I covered the Dodgers, he didn't speak a lick of English. He made an effort to go out there. He does interviews in English, and I don't know, because I don't speak another language fluently, so I don't think I would be nearly as good as him. So he's doing these interviews in a second language, and honestly, being around this team, because I've been on the NL since the wild card game, and I was with the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks in the first round too, his showboating, his flamboyancy on the field seems to come from a genuine place of love for the game.
It's not.
It doesn't seem like it's showing people up. And I've seen the difference. Mm-hmm. I've seen the players where I'm like, that bat flip is a bleep move. It's a jerky move. A jerky move.
I got you. No, you're fine.
I bleeped myself.
No, don't ever do that again.
You're not doing that because you're happy what you're doing. You're doing that to showboat, to show off. And Yasiel does. I mean, he joked. He's like, I let that flip for singles and doubles, not home runs.
Yeah, he clapped back on Olbermann with that one, right? That was a direct
was
response
funny.
To Keith Olbermann. He said, but hashtag Puig your friend too. All right, not going to let you wriggle out of this one, though. Most difficult, awkward, painful, unfortunate moment.
We
didn't forget about that. I think
we had three last week, so.
I think that the difficult thing is any time you have to interview a team or someone that lost. I've actually been fortunate this postseason that I've only been interviewing the winning team, just the way it's lined up. But I've done plenty of interviews in the past for teams that I mean, I was covering the Indians. I was assigned. I do what I'm assigned to do.
Right.
Sorry, Cubs fans.
Mm-hmm.
I've been assigned to the Dodgers side of things this postseason. I was assigned to the Indians last postseason, and I had to go in that. And I was actually surprised at how positive those players were. It was a hard-fought battle. That Game 7 could have gone either way. It was amazing to be there to watch the Cubs, you know, make history. The 108-year curse. I thought that was neat, and they let me run out on the field and watch them celebrate before I went in and did the Indians post-game show. But those are the hardest. Because you just, you empathize so much with everything that these guys go through all year long just to, you know, to fall short in the end.
Or you can ask Bryce Harper, what does he think of the Dodgers Cup Series?
Ooh, boy.
That was one of those ones where Bryce earned his money. Like, you know what? I don't have any thoughts about that, and you should go to the other locker room. Now, Heidi Watney joining us here for a couple more moments on the Bernstein and Golf Show on 670 The Score. She of MLB Network and also of Boston Red Sox fame, and you covered them. I want to ask you about ladies in sports, because with the recent Cam Newton discussion that we've had, and our coworker Julie DeCaro has talked about it, you know, and it seems like we feel like we've come a long way in terms of men understanding women have a place in all industry, including this one, and that they should be looked upon as equal partners in sharing this, these messages that are disseminated through whatever, you know, media vehicle that you have. How far do you think we've come? And I'm sure you've dealt with certain things. And how far do you think we have to go? Because it's a discussion that seemingly doesn't come up unless something bad happens.
Or when somebody like Doris Burke gets a promotion, or Sarah Kustak gets a promotion, or Kara Lawson gets a promotion.
Yeah, we talk about that.
But it's happening more and more.
It seems like, for the most part, the Cam Newton stuff, or when a female reporter has a bad, you know, instance with an athlete, that's when it's talked about.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's not, like you said, it's not balanced enough.
The Cam Newton stuff really surprised me, because I honestly feel like we had gotten past that. We had gotten past the point where someone would smirk and mock someone because they asked a question that didn't seem specific to their gender. That was really, really surprising for me. I will say I am not a pioneer. There are many women that came before me that did have to do that. Susan Waldman with the Yankees is one person that I've actually talked to about that. She had to deal with that a long time ago, and I'm fortunate that they've laid the groundwork. You definitely see a difference, but you see a difference in everything in life. You know, I go to get, you know, my oil changed for my car, and they try to say you need new brakes and like this $7,000 job on your car. When I'm like, no,
because you're not supposed to know better.
Change the oil.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, but it's just one of those things where if you keep, my thought is just keep the message positive and keep doing what I can do to be prepared for my interviews, to be prepared for whatever I'm doing. And if I do my part to sound like I know what I'm talking about, and to also foster an environment of equality with my crew that I work with and with everyone that I work with, and not go into it. My thing is, don't go into it with a bad attitude. Don't go into it with a chip on your shoulder, because that's not going to get people to work with you.
Hear the message.
Yeah. Or hear the message, exactly.
Good stuff, Heidi. Thank you. I know you got a lot of work to do. We will let you do that. We appreciate you taking some time out of your day for us today.
Thanks for having me on. It was fun, guys.
Appreciate you. Heidi Watney, right here on the Bernstein and Golf Show. We're live out here at the park at Wrigley. We'll take some phone calls. Looking forward to talking to Ron Coomer as well.
That segment was brought to you by 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. Attention diabetics, you can get your testing supplies delivered to your home. Free delivery and a free meter. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline, 800-808-5181, 800-808-5181. The man called Coomdog joins us next on The Score.
The Dodgers are up on the Cubs 2-0 in the NLCS. Don't push that panic button just yet, Cubs fans. Don't miss Pat and Ron's hometown call of Game 3 tonight. Our pregame coverage starts at 6. Keep it here as we continue to preview this huge game on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the defending World Series champion Chicago Cubs. Coverage brought to you by State Farm, proud partner of the Cubs.
Here's a list of reasons why AT&T prepaid is a great choice.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
When you switch to AT&T prepaid, you get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
I just said that.
It's worth repeating.
AT&T prepaid has no annual contracts.
And AT&T's reliable network.
Switch to AT&T prepaid to get a new ZTE Maven 3 smartphone for free.
Limited time offer available at participating AT&T stores. Requires new line of service, $45 or $65 plan and auto pay. Reliable network claim for third party sources. Fees, coverage, and other restrictions apply. Details at att.com/prepaid.
If you or someone you know has been injured, call Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, Chicago's top injury lawyers. They've won the largest jury verdict for a back injury, the largest jury verdict for a brain injury, and the largest jury verdict for a neck injury. In fact, they've won the largest personal injury verdict in Illinois history. There are no upfront fees, and you don't pay unless they win. Call 312-800-8000 for a free consultation. That's 312-800-8000. Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates. The attention you expect, the results you deserve.
You,
Hi, it's Dan Bernstein.
And Jason Goff.
And it's fall, but you should fall asleep even easier, huh? See?
Yeah.
Thanks to Mattress Firm's Fall Asleep Sale that's going on right now. With the holidays fast approaching, check this out. You now get the chance to prep the guest room for friends and family, because when you gift yourself with a new Beautyrest world-class mattress, you'll get another mattress 50% off, and there's more.
Yeah, you haven't seen the latest in sleep technology until you've been to your nearby Mattress Firm, and there are a bunch nearby because there's over 100 in the Chicagoland area. The Beautyrest Black Memory Foam with black ice, it cools you every night. Seriously, it'll be honestly astonishing to you as how cold this mattress is to the touch, and it offers an unmatched level of support and indulgent comfort. You'll want to hug it, and it'll hug your body right back.
You wouldn't believe how low these prices start. You can go with a classic, a Hampton and Rhodes Pillow Top Queen mattress.
How much is that going to run?
It starts at just $199.99. There's over 15 queens, all priced under $699.99, and 0% APR for 5 years, 60 entire months of sleeping interest free. But you have to get in there. Don't just take our word for it. Go in, check it out, talk to the mattress professional, and make sure you find exactly what's right for you at the Fall Sleep Sale on now at Mattress Firm. Save money.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Say, are you a single person on the dating scene? Well, join the club, man. Plenty of people out there are single and loving it. But what if you don't wish to remain single? Don't worry. Love will surely find you. It might happen at, oh, let's just say, a baseball game. There you are in the stands, having a beer and a frankfurter and rooting for your home team. Suddenly, a gorgeous person of the opposite sex approaches you and asks if you're in her seat. You compare tickets, and somehow you've both been issued the same one. Management feels terrible and immediately moves you together to a private box. There you fall madly in love, and your team wins the World Series, and you catch the winning home run on your wedding day. Or you could call the dating experts at It's Just Lunch. Your It's Just Lunch matchmaker will personally set you up on some real dates for some real fun, real fast. So stop dreaming and start dating. It's Just Lunch. The smarter way to date.
Call or text 312-881-5225 or visit itsjustlunchchicago.com to learn more.
Frozen!
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Everybody's excited about seeing him pitch in a Cubs uniform. He has been outstanding for the White Sox through the years. As I'm getting a pterodactyl out of our booth, which flew in. But besides that, all is good, and we're excited about today. And
what did you call him, a pterodactyl?
Yeah, it was, you know, a big thing that could pick you up and just take you right out and fly you right out of the booth.
Yeah, what was it, a moth or a bird?
It was Mitch.
It was no moth, I promise you that. It had me coming out of my chair, and that's no easy thing.
You know? Got to hit the ejector button for that.
Right. Usually. He had to get lost. It might have done some damage on the season ticket holder below me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you're hearing right now is the one, the only Ron Coomer on the Bernstein and Goff Show. We're live out here at the park at Wrigley, already having a good time. Ron, so two games.
Yeah.
You don't score a lot of runs.
Nope.
Nobody looks good. Hopefully the scenery that's changed with them being at home now for three games, the offense will get going. You've been in those situations. What happens to hitters when they feel like they got to get the next big hit?
For our guy, I mean, you look at it two ways. You either look at it that the guys are scuffling a little bit and not getting a big hit, or, you know, the guys in Los Angeles are executing the plan. And, you know, we have a lot of guys that look to hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, that's been known since, you know, we beat St. Louis 2 years ago, you know, to get into the playoffs and win the first round of that year. But, I mean, they've executed the high fastball. You're talking about 3 or 4 inches of height. If you get the ball in the zone, things change. We've swung at the ball, elevated out of the zone. And that's, I'm speaking about that with everybody but Kenley Jansen, because you can't think you can justify your at-bats and how you're doing against the guy that may be the best pitcher on the planet. I mean, you can't look at it that way. So you got to, you know, it's like Mariano Rivera. You weren't going to judge your at-bats against him. So, you know, you got to do better getting to him or else, you know, things are going
to
be tough.
Is that the feeling when he's in the game that you're just going to have to ride out those 2 innings and hopefully he catches you at the bad part of the order?
Yeah, you just hope that he makes a mistake. I mean, the guy's throwing 98 miles an hour with a high cutter. Mariano Rivera was 96 with the same cutter. I mean, it's just, he's a really difficult guy to do anything against. And, you know, there's only a few of them pitching right now, Chapman being one of them. We saw that last year and how good that is. You know, Jansen, that's why he's the top paid closer, one of them, in the game's history.
Right, excluding these unicorn types that really aren't even worth strategizing.
Right.
It looks like the Dodgers are playing some successful eye-level games with hitters, too. Working vertically rather than horizontally. We were just talking to Len Casper about it. And when you said the high fastball, when your curve is good and the high fastball is good, it puts a hitter in a very defensive spot to then try to get a read on that rotation early. It makes everything a little bit more hurried, everything a little bit more uncertain. And I think that's what we've been seeing in some of these Chris Bryant at-bats. Judging from his reaction on some of these swing and misses, it's like almost he knows as his swing is starting that he guessed wrong.
Well, you have to be, when you hit a high fastball, whether it's at the top of the zone or above the zone, you have to catch the ball so much farther out in front than normal. So obviously that means you've got to start a little sooner. And when you hear all of us analysts talk about changing eye level, Danny, that's exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about throwing the high pitch, and then especially the last two guys that the Cubs have faced in Kershaw and Hill, where they have an actual curveball, which is a rare pitch in our game. You can change eye levels, and they both did it okay. The bullpen guys, though, have done it maybe better than the starters. They really have.
What would be the appropriate plan to prepare for somebody like Darvish when, with most guys, you know the primary pitch, and then there's going to be two other pitches you probably have to be ready for at some point, depending on if it's the second or third time through. When you have a guy with the repertoire that Darvish has, what do you plan to look for, and what do you plan to cover / foul off or maybe just square up as long as your hands are back?
For me, and I'll talk about this, you know, when we start the broadcast, to me, with a guy like Darvish, who's got a really firm fastball, you have to hit off the fastball. So I would look fastball and look fastball down, and if I felt like I was swinging at the one up, instantly as soon as the ball was elevated, I'd take, whether it was a strike or a ball. But that way you get away from swinging at the one out of the zone.
Okay.
So I would look for the ball down, and everything I would swing at would be down. Because what the other pitch is he's fastball, little breaking ball like a slider, but his out pitch is the split. So now you're going after, you're in the zone where both of those pitches, if you're going to do damage, though, that's the area where you can do damage.
How imperative is it for the Cubs to get people on base because of that splitter and maybe taking that out of the count when it's an 0-2 or 1-2 count because you don't want it bouncing for a guy to get to second or third base, how valuable every 90 feet are?
I just think that's imperative, period. If the Cubs are going to win, when you look at this group, there are a bunch of young guys and a couple older guys sprinkled in. When they start the chain moving, right, and things start moving around the bases, it seems like, and I think Anthony talked about this in the paper.
It was a vibe.
Yeah, there becomes a contagiousness about the guys hitting, walking, whatever the case may be. And then it seems like it runs through the group, right? And I really feel this group in particular is that way, maybe more so than any other team I've ever seen.
I'd love to know if that's true. Because we could do it. We could go in and
quantify
it. How do you quantify that? You can't, but when you're here every day and you watch, when they put up a big number, it's walk, hit by pitch, pass ball, base hit,
double
bang, 3-run bomb, and then all of a sudden there's a 5-spot goes on the board and you went, whoa, that happened fast. But it's moving the line and then one big swing, and now you've got a five spot.
I love the way Russell looks in the box right now, and I saw a video analysis that was done. I want to say it was Sahadev Sharma at The Athletic that included video in his tremendous piece, and he's really just doing remarkable work, that where Russell made a small adjustment in the angle at which he leans. Instead of leaning back, he is now ready. Changed to lean slightly toward the plate. Not back toward the catcher. Okay. I mean back away from the plate, and now he's leaning toward the plate, and he has changed his eye angle so that he's seeing the pitch better and longer, and it's made every bit of difference. And he's talked about it, the video backs it up, and it is amazing to me how something that small at the levels that we're talking about can make a difference that appears so stark to the human eye.
How long does it take for that to get into a hitter's head and then apply it out there to make sure you don't revert back to your same old ways?
So something like that, like a tweak in your setup, not long at all. Because you can do something that reminds you to make sure, some little something that gets you back in that position. Because what you're trying to do is step and repeat your setup every time, right? To make sure you can put your A pass on the ball. And that's what Dan's talking about.
Is that why guys like slap their front foot when they know they're
getting a little
too open? You'll
see guys hit their helmet with their hands in the bat to make sure their hands are in a certain spot.
Hayward is doing something where he will choke up halfway on the bat and turn his body halfway. That's clearly reminding him to do something like that.
Absolutely. I would. There were many things. I would make sure that I pointed my bat straight to the sky to make sure that my hands would get up and I'd get the barrel up this way. Because when I got flat, then I was under all the time. So I would point it upward to just remind myself, okay, here's where, and then I would do the tap on my helmet to make sure my hands were above my ears where I wanted them. That's where I was at my best. I think for Addy, the thing that does for him is instead of being somewhat flat-footed in the box, it gets you on your toes. And we all know that is the most athletic position. And if you talk about being in an athletic position, you hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you better be athletic, or else you're not going to hit.
Damn it. That kind of analysis, and the man is selling you pillows on top of it. Ron, thank you for stopping
by. Hey, that's
by.
Because I got good sleep last night.
There it is. Ron, thank you for stopping
Absolutely,
by,
brother.
Absolutely,
guys. Great
Appreciate
to see
you.
Yep.
That's Ron Coomer. You'll be able to hear him tonight on these airwaves calling Cubs baseball. The segment brought to you by Burlington. Make Burlington Stores your coat headquarters for your family. Hurry in and save on anoraks, faux leather, quilted, bombers, plus boots, scarves, hats, and gloves, too. Burlington style for everyone. We, just after the top of the hour, plan to hear from Joe Maddon, who just spoke once again. We'll see if maybe he's in a little less defensive posture than he was earlier in the day. I'm sure it depends on the questioning. And this segment also brought to you by American Needle, the proud sponsors of our video feed here on Sports Radio 670. Keep it here to hear from Joe Maddon on The Score.
Cubs playoff coverage on The Score is brought to you by State Farm. Proud.
When you're at the Bears game, concessions aren't just concessions. They're a way to re-energize after you've cheered so hard your face is bluer than the jersey you're wearing. And with the Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card, you'll unlock special discounts, like 20% off concessions at the game, so you'll never run out of energy.
Visit PNC.com/Chicago Bears card for details. An annual fee of $10 will be assessed to the primary checking account associated with the card. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Time to shed some light on light bulbs. Don't just settle for any light bulb. Make sure it's the right bulb. And that means where you buy them matters. Right now at the Home Depot, a 10-pack of Fight LED bulbs is $12.88. That's just $1.29 a bulb, and they last up to 10 years, which means you'll save now and save even more in the long run. The right bulb in all the right styles, colors, shapes, and sizes. Like a 10-pack of Fight LED light bulbs, just $12.88. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
CBS Wednesday on Criminal Minds.
She's crazy, please! Help!
Sometimes to catch a killer.
She wasn't targeted. She was a witness who had to be silenced.
You have to think like one.
He needs easy targets.
If he sticks to his pattern, he usually kills in twos.
We're ready to deliver the profile.
Dare to go inside.
FBI! Don't move!
TV's number one suspense thriller.
We get into the mind of the killer.
Criminal Minds, CBS Wednesday, or stream it live or on demand.
Asking the right question is 95% of getting the right answer.
Here's a question I'll bet you haven't heard before.
You're the Speaker of the House. Have you reached out to the Democrats yet?
You've done your homework on this.
Mr. Vice President, tell me where you think this conflict is right now.
Terrific question.
What are some of the questions you want to see answered about what Russia may have done?
Thank you for the question.
What do you see as the central question?
Really a good question.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's a good question.
That is the perfect question.
Here's a question. Why would you get your news from anywhere other than CBS This Morning?
CBS Sunday.
This is our Secretary of State.
We're gonna make history.
Madam Secretary is a diplomat.
You must respect our process.
Let me lay out our process. You're gonna open your gates or we're gonna break them down.
A visionary.
It's only impossible if we fail to try. We need to take a stand.
And a patriot.
Mr. President, you need to win. You're gonna need me as your Secretary of State.
Taya Leone is Madam Secretary.
Let's change the world.
CBS Sunday, or stream it live or on demand.
Thanks for streaming The Score, official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs, and the place to hear World Series Cubs manager Joe Maddon talk with Spiegel and Parkins, Tuesdays at noon.
The moment Javi stopped swinging at elevated fastball...